Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, I'm a Hebrew Israelite from the tribe of Judah, of the seed of Abraham. I ain't no Egyptian, I ain't no Muslim, I ain't no Kabbalist, and I definitely ain't no African. Why you all up in Islam? You ain't Arab, you're a Hebrew. Man, it's getting crazy everywhere I look, I see you. Some of y'all say you Egyptian, you can't read the hieroglyphics. You don't know what they really say. That makes you religious, cause you just believe in what you heard was right. So why you mad at me for saying I'm an Israelite? When I can read the Hebrew, I can see right through you. You want your identity, but you don't wanna be who you are. You wanna shine, you wanna travel around with the philosophy and history you think you found. But all your dates are carbon dated, and we know that's false. So what's the point of all your math when your equation is wrong? Come on, you ain't Egyptian. You ain't no Muslim. You ain't no African. Come on.
Not I
I'll smite your firstborn dead. Let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell all Pharaoh to let my people go.
Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, your host, I'm your servant, and as well as your friend, Sister Georgia. Today, family, is April 4th, 2014, and we're getting ready to get back into our Father's Word. Today we have a very expanded lesson, I guess is the proper word to call it. We're titling our lesson today, The Man, Thy Sons, the Passover, the Gentiles, and Those Generational Vipers. We're going to be focusing our attention on Exodus chapter 11 through 13. Within there, there's so much said, so much that is overlooked, and so much that is being mistaught today. We pray that by going through the scripture, giving you precept upon precept, rightly dividing the word, looking up certain words, and giving you the understanding that it's all about the spirit. This has to do with end times. This has to do with, the whole word. If you don't get the beginning right, how are you going to say you're going to figure out Revelations or even understand what has happened in our history? What the new covenant was trying to show you, you're messing everything up if you don't understand from the beginning. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 11, and we'll be reading through 13. Now, we'll probably have to do this in maybe two or three parts. I'm going to take my time with it. I want to make sure that everyone is understanding the truth of the word. So we will go to the book of Exodus and take a look at when the children were leaving Israel. The children of the Most High. You're going to see that the Father already let us know in his word that he has already given us everything right in the book. Okay, the word is there. It's easily to understand if you're operating out the spirit. His word will not come back void, nor will it change. So somehow today we are getting taught an inaccurate message because we're going to see where, well, wait a minute. In the Old Covenant, it spoke of the same thing that we're explaining to everyone, which they're misinterpreting the New Covenant. It's the same thing, though. It's really the same thing. The only difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant is the Spirit. The Spirit that became the Word that manifested itself in a vessel or a body that through this one-time sacrificial offering for his people, the children of Israel, that now we have a full remission of our sins through his blood. There's nothing different. All his people, the men, the women, the children, all his people. But his people, as old covenant, as our Father Yahuwah has let us know in the word. Many times we look at the word stranger, sojourner, foreigner, aliens, this, that, and we confuse it. We let others confuse us too, but we're going to read and get the proper precepts for all this, coming to the complete fullness of what our Father was trying to let us know within the preserved word that he has preserved for us, that is written in English, termed by the Gentiles, the Bible. But that's our history book. I keep repeating those words. This is our history book because sooner or later you got to come to the conclusion after we start looking at what's written with the proper understanding that, yeah, this is really about us. So when we go to Revelations, don't start look in the world to give you the prophecy answers because they were all spoken by the prophets speaking about the children of Israel. But you got to remember, all Israel's not of Israel. That's where that serpent seed, that generation of vipers come in. And for the children of Israel, that's probably more a danger to you than what's in the world. Although the generation of vipers are of the world. So, I mean, if you've been keeping up with our lessons, this is all going to blend in so nicely. It's all going to give you understanding, more and more understanding. Especially we are heading in the direction where we're going to reveal to you revelations. Many are making big mistakes with revelations, not understanding that it's about Israel. So I pray that as we read the Father's word, we get that spiritual understanding. We're operating out the Spirit, and we're coming to the Father's truth. Now, family, I'm going to try to make this and all the lessons from here on, I'm going to really try to do my best to keep it under 2 hours. Brother Jonathan and I have spoken, and we're going to start having lessons on Tuesday at 5 p.m., and that's going to be our Shabbat lessons. Okay, then I might throw in a Friday lesson, if you who are willing, that I might break down little parts and bits, maybe a 15-minute lesson, a 30-minute lesson, what have you, but not very long. So we want to make sure that the people, his people, are getting the correct understanding of what's in Scripture, because there's famine going on right now. You see, the children of the kingdom are supposed to know the truth. So we're going to get to that. I also want to make an announcement to the family members, and many of you have received my memo, that one of our dear brothers, Brother Henry Bryan, he has lost his wife this week. So we ask that everyone keep him in your prayers, okay? Keep him in your prayers. He's going through a lot right now, and all we can do right now is, you know, keep like the children, our ancestors, shall I say, the children of the book did before. They prayed for one another. And right now he needs our prayers. So I ask everyone, you know, make an extra prayer in there and send it out to Brother Henry. All right, we're getting ready to get started. Welcome, 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 everyone. Welcome to our lesson, The Man, Thy Sons, The Passover, The Gentiles, and Those Generational Vipers. We're getting ready to get into some deep understanding once again. Now, I'll tell everybody, if you don't understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, go back into the archives, okay, because a lot of this stuff is just building, so that you can come to the truth of what was preserved for us to understand. I would ask everyone to join me in with a prayer. As I raise my hands, dear Heavenly Father, dear Father, we just want to say we love you and we praise you and we thank you for all that you are doing in our lives and all that will be done. Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy that was shown to our nation of people. Father, we thank you for your understanding, for the Comforter that came and is with us and is leading and guiding us in all our paths, helping us and strengthening us as we go through trials and tribulation. Father, we just thank you and we praise you for your understanding, your long-suffering, for all our brothers and sisters. Father, we just want to lift you up in everything that we do, in everything that we say. Father, we just say hallelujah. And we ask for shalom and riches to go out to the family members who are seeking your face, wanting to hear the truth of your word. Father, give them the understanding. Let this little understanding go onto another understanding till they can start to see very clearly, because they have read your word and they are operating out the Spirit, seeking your face. And we just ask for protection over this website, over my mouth and my body as I speak your word, Father, asking that only the set apart Spirit flow, let it not be of me, but where all praise and glory goes back to you, Father. And we ask this in Yahushua's set apart name. We just say hallelujah. All right, we're getting ready to get started, family. Now, I'm by myself today because Brother Jonathan did have to work. But we're going to go into some understanding because, you know, I spoke on some things. I've been speaking on the seven assemblies. They call them the seven churches of Revelations, giving understanding about the serpent seed. The only two that taught the synagogue of Satan out of the seven assemblies that were pleasing to our Father. And then I spoke during White History Month, and, you know, I have to give you what the Father's given me. And it clearly defines who Esau is. And I made some comments that, really, they weren't comments. I just read what the scripture said. It, you know, and the more and more I read, the more and more I get understanding. It's like I can see why our people are left devastated by the truth. The truth is the Father had a people. He still has the same group of people, and he's going to regather that same group of people, the descendants of those people. And those people are his people. And it offends people when I say certain things or read certain things, like what the Father says, I hate Esau. King David made comments in, what was it, Psalms, how he was, who the Father hated, he hated. His enemies were, the Father's enemies were his enemies. You know, and a lot of the understanding is lost because the way they put our history book together and the way we have learned it in Christianity or whatever man-made religion we came out of, or if we're operating out the flesh, this all seems real foreign. But you see, you're supposed to know the truth. That's why we have to go back to the Exodus, because a lot of things are learned on an emotional level, are learned as a child, learned without the truth, which is the set apart spirit flowing through a person teaching you. So we will go back through Exodus chapter 11 and hit it all the way to 13. Like I said, it might be three lessons that we have to go to get to this point, but we're going to get a lot of understanding because, you know, when I make the comment that all the other nations, you can't give them credit for anything that they are doing, but you better realize that favor was given to you. So the praises go back up to our Father. And the only reason the favor was given to you is because the Father chose you. And that's really not that hard to understand, but as we read, you'll get the understanding, because I'm going to pick up at Exodus chapter 11. Now, I'll try to give you guys the link, okay, because I don't like doing that too much anymore because my computer really, it just really acts up, okay, and I don't even know if I can get it up right now. Let me see. I'm going to do this, and then from here on, I ask that everybody either open their scriptures up at home, or I ask that you follow the link, and I'll tell you where I'm reading from, and you go ahead and get there yourself, okay? So I'm going to give you the link to the KJV, but they have all translations here. You can get whatever translation you want to read from. I will be reading from the KJV. I'm going to post this on the chat line for anybody who wants to keep up with us. Know this, if it's not in the Father's Word, you ain't going to hear me talk about it. But what we're going to read and the understanding is all there. So I pray that you're in the mode for truth. Now, I've just posted the link where I'm going to be reading from, okay, the KJV Bible. You can get everywhere that I'm going to yourself. Now, let's get started into the lesson, okay? Like I said, I pray everybody's here to learn. Okay, we're going to start off in Exodus chapter 11. Now, I'm going to be doing a lot of precepting, doing a lot of giving understanding to words, giving a lot of understanding. You know, when you come to the scripture, we're told to come as children, which means whatever you think you know or whatever the world has taught you or whatever a lion, scribe, or Pharisee has taught you, clear out your brain. Come to the Father's Word as little children, because you may say, oh, that's not right, but we're going to go to it and let the Father give you the right understanding, the correct understanding for what you have believed to be truth. Okay, so when we go to Exodus 11, everyone open up, please, at verse 1. And I'll be stopping here and there to give precepts understanding, because you're going to find that what you have believed to be one thing, when you look at the words, they're talking about the same thing. And you can better go back and forth in the Old and the New Covenant precepting once you get these words and this understanding. Okay, Exodus 11, verse 1. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and silver and jewels of gold. And Yahuwah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. What I might do is read all of chapter 11 for you guys first, and then I'm going to break it down. I think it'd probably be better if I do that. So from there, it tells us in verse 4, "And Moses said, Thus said Yahuwah, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was not like, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know that Yahuwah doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." I got to move my little cursor down here. "And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that I will go out. And he went out from the Pharaoh in a great anger." It says, "And Yahuwah said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And Yahuwah hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land." Well, a little further, because I got notes here. I'm trying to bypass my notes, and we'll come back to those notes. I should have just had the other page up. "And for the children," oh, wait a minute, that's something else. Give me a second, film. And maybe I should have just read it from the computer. I think that's what I'll do, because I have a lot of notes in here. And maybe I don't want to read it. Hold on. I'm just trying. I have so many notes. I just want to make sure that, you know, you can understand what's being put in Exodus 11. Yeah, that's it. That's all I want to read for Exodus 11. I just want to go through verse 10, because there's a point I want to make that many are messing up on, and I want to clarify it. You know, when I say certain things, people think that it's me saying it. No, I'm letting you know that this is the Father's word. We're going to read it. People had a problem when I said that if somebody does something for you from another nation, we don't give them no credit. It's the truth. We don't. We give it to our Father, because our Father lets you know that he will show favor to his people, and he will harden hearts and soften hearts on behalf of his people, and so that we may know that he rules out of all the so-called gods of the earth. He is the God. He is the Father. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He's the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is Israel. So there's nobody trumping him. Everything that is because of him. And I know that we're living in 2014, and we see, well, this person's nice of this nation. Well, no, because, see, this brother over here may teach that these Gentiles that were coming out of Egypt and these strangers and sojourners and foreigners, well, see, that was the other nations. And then when they get to the new covenant, what they will say is, well, you see, Paul had to go out to the Gentiles without any understanding of those words. You got to keep everything in proper context. What was being spoken of? The scriptures many times will let you know the understanding and the definition of what was going on. These Gentiles that Paul was speaking of, as well as King David and even Yahuwah spoke of, we're going to read it. These were Israelites. So I want to take you guys back, and we're going to break down a couple things in Exodus 11. It's important that I do this because, you know, I don't want you to be shaky on anything that I'm going to read to you or explain to you. I want to make sure that you can go in Scripture, you can read it yourself, and you can have that proper understanding. Because without these little things, family, when you try to figure out other parts of the scripture or even understand revelations, you're lost. You're looking at in a whole different direction that the Father never meant for you to look at. He wants you to stay on that straight path. So let's go there. I'm going to go back there again to verse 2. When the Father spoke to Moses, he says, "Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and gold and gold." Okay. All right. When we go to verse 2, it tells us, every time you see that word, every man and every woman, understand that it's still talking about the people, because you can go prior in verse 2 and say, "Speak now in the ears of the people." Moses was ordered to speak to the children of Israel. They were getting ready to come out of Egypt. Now they put, "And let every man," that means the people. They say "every woman," that means the people. Here's what it's saying. If you know the word borrow means, the word borrow is Hebrews 7:5-9:2. That word borrow means favor. Okay, it's a favor. "Speak now in the people's ear, and let every Hebrew favor," let them have favor, "and of his neighbor." So the neighbors were who they were by, who were among them. They were in the land of Egypt among the other nations, particularly Egyptians. But the Hebrews were there. Some were considered lost sheep, mixed multitudes, strangers, or sojourners. But the borrow that they're speaking of is Hebrews 7:5-9:2. The word means "as a favor." Okay? So he's saying, let the people, let my people get favor from his neighbors and take the jewels of silver and jewels of gold. That's what you're going to take from them. Verse 3, "And Yahuwah gave the people favor." And that word favor is Hebrews 25:80. I shouldn't have made it so small. But that word means grace. The word favor means grace. We hear about grace in the New Covenant everywhere. So you see, people think that, oh, it was just given in the New Covenant. No, it was in the Old Covenant too. And Yahuwah, who gave the grace to the people? Who made the other nation, and this particular nation was Egypt. Who made the Egyptians show the Hebrews favor? Well, it was our Father, Yahuwah. It says, "Yahuwah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians." So the Egyptians showed favor to the Most High's people. We're gonna really break this down wonderfully for everyone, because this seems to be a major problem. We have learned through Christianity that we're all one, but in all actuality, that's a lie. That's not what the Father said. You're going to read in a second here how the Father is going to show you that he put a division between his people and the Egyptians. I can go further and add it to the world. Between his people and the other families of the world, okay, of this earth realm we're in. There was always a division that he put, because his people were supposed to be set apart and set apart and sanctified to him. So he tells us, I'm going to read 1 through 3 just so everybody can get it. "And Yahuwah said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow or show favor of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And Yahuwah gave the people favor or grace in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people." Now, I want to hit on that word grace, favor, the word we're talking about. I want to hit on that just a little bit more. I told you guys, well, we read it. when you look up those words, you're going to find that the word borrow is speaking of as a favor. That's Hebrews 75:92. The word favor that is spoken of in Exodus 11, verse 3, and Yahuwah gave the people favor, that strong word is Hebrews 25:80, which means grace. So we're seeing that grace is favor, okay? And this was given to Yahuwah's people in the sight of the Egyptians. So when we look at the word grace, in the Strong's, we get Greek 5485. When you go to the New Covenant, there's many verses. There's many verses, but I want to read to you what that means. And then you can kind of connect the dots when you start reading the New Covenant and figuring out, what is this talking about? Well, it tells us, grace, Greek 5485, it says the word grace means an outline of biblical usage. That which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charms, loveliness, favor of the merciful kindness by which Yahuwah, exerting his set-apart influence upon souls, he will harden a heart, or he will soften a heart, family, on your behalf, for your favor for you, okay? The word grace also, it puts in the definition for the outline of biblical usage, favors, recompense, reward. Let's see what else. Well, it just tells you grace and favor. But if you go down to see in the New Covenant, where many times we're told certain things and our people, if you keep in line and don't switch up the people and understand what the Father's showing his people, his set-apart people, and he's making a division between his people and the other nations, always did, always will. Only you have been taught that there is no division among us and all the people. And if you become a Hebrew Israelite, many people are putting division between the man and the woman. Neither one of those excuses will fly from this point. Let's go and look. When you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. You notice Paul says, grace be unto you, favor be unto you, right? He says, and peace from Yahuwah our Father and from Yahushua, our brother in Yahushua. We can go many places. I'm just going to read a couple to you. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. It says, to the saints. Now, these are the same saints spoken of in Old Covenant, and faithful brethren in Yahushua, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, so favor be unto you, and peace and shalom from Yahuwah our Father and from our brethren Yahushua. When you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, grace be unto you, and shalom from Yahuwah our Father and from Yahushua, our brethren. When you go to Revelations 1, verse 4, I keep telling everybody they use the word churches. We know that it's really talking about our bodies being vessels. So when you see the word church, we're talking about the assembly. Okay, sometimes they use the word women to describe churches, but this is all still speaking about the assembly or the saints. It tells us in Revelations 1:4. Remember, we're talking about the word grace and favor. It says, John, to the seven assemblies which are in Asia, grace or favor be unto you, and shalom from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. What I'm trying to show you, family, I'm going to go one other place with you. What I'm trying to show you is, yes, favor is what we see when we deal with the other nations. If you are following our Father, you will get favor in this land. Things that we know, that's not their normal nature to treat us at such a way, because only we have discontinued from our heritage. They've always had their heritage. This is the disposition of all these other nations. We can read about them in Psalms 83. They all had a tumult against our father and against the children of Israel and said, let's make their name be no more in remembrance. So when we go, and let's just go there, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Once again, we're going to hear about that grace or that favor. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of our Father, Yahuwah. Now, this foreknowledge and so forth, we're going to bring that up in another lesson where we're going to talk about predestination. Still talking about favor, still talking about the assembly, but what differentiates each of us from the other nation. As a nation of Israel, we are still separate, and we are in a separate condition and so forth as from the other nations. We are special. We are different. I'm not being prejudiced. I'm telling you what the scripture says. You will read it. Okay, so this election is the saints that were preordained. The Father knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb. We're talking about these people right here. Elect according to the foreknowledge of Yahuwah the Father through the sanctification, okay, of the Spirit unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yahushua. Grace unto you, or favor unto you, and peace be multiplied. So I wanted to read that because, you know, when I made the comment that these other nations, what they give you is favor, and you don't give them any credit for them, just know that the Father has blessed you there by giving you that grace with them, with that favor. You see? Nothing is changing in the Word. The Father used the other nations for our chastisement. Now, when we get into obedience with him, we get favor. So right now, wherever you're located, if you're in the you can hear my voice. I'm reading to you what our Father says. Our Father says, grace, favor be to you, Israel. You see? That grace and that favor was for Israel only. I'm not making it up. It's the truth. Nothing's changed in the Word. Okay. I think I've made that point exceptionally clear. But I want to continue moving on because there's more in here. There is more. When you get to verse 4 of Exodus 11, it says, and Moses said, thus said Yahuwah, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. Now here's what he's going to do. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. Now pay attention, because we're talking about, this is getting ready to get into the Passover. We're talking about the Most High was going to smite the firstborn, okay, of the people of Egypt, and the firstborn of even the beast. We're going to hear about this same thing being done when we talk about opening up the matrix. You're going to get some understanding here. Just pay attention to what he says. In verse 6, he says, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. So he's getting ready to cause the firstborn, even the one who sits on Pharaoh's throne, they shall be smited, they shall be killed, and even the firstborn of the beast. This all goes in the Passover family. Pay attention. Verse 7, he's letting you know, hey, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye, my children, that ye may know that Yahuwah doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. I've heard on many sites they're trying to bring in the Egyptians as our people. Nonsense. The Father let you know in his word, the Egyptians were of a different nation. They were of Ham's lineage. We, the children of Israel, are from Shem's lineage. That was the called and the chosen lineage. You can't bring in a Hamite of a descendant. They're Africans, the descendants, the Egyptians, the Africans, all the same people. Okay, that's Ham's lineage. You cannot bring them in and say, see, that's our people too. many times when you read in scripture and it might say it looked like they're talking about a Hivite or something like that, they're talking about the children of Israel that were dwelling in the land of the Africans, of the Hamites. So there is quite a difference put between us and them. The Hamites, the Egyptians, they're from a different nation. All the nations that were not of Israel, the Father always put a difference between us and them. You cannot bring them in because you don't understand these words. We're going to break them down. Okay? I'm going to read it again. The Father says in verse 5 of Exodus 11, "And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservants that is behind the mill, and all the beast, the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that Yahuwah doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Now, I want to break down a word for you. Go to verse 7. Verse 7 speaks of a dog. Now, y'all know where I'm going to go with this, but let's just break down what they give you. Because, you see, you can go in a strong concordance sometime, but if you're not operating out the Spirit, you're not going to get this. Because even in the strong concordance, they try to hide things. Okay? I've shown you guys that many times when we look up words that are Hebrews living in a land, and although it's taken from Greek to Hebrew, because they say the new covenant is in the Greek, this was all done because if you're not going to study to show yourself approved, you're not going to rightly divide that word, and you're not going to come to the Father's truth. But if you operate not the Spirit, you will. So in this verse right here, this is Exodus 11, verse 7. I want to look at that word dog. It has a lot of juice and meat there. We're going to look at it. It says, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue." He better not open his mouth. Okay, the word dog, if you go look it up, is going to tell you contempt. Well, that's true. When the Father shows his people favor, even though with our physical eyes we may see, well, this is not right, but the Father going to make sure that that person who's showing you a favor, they better not open their mouth against you. They better not show no contempt when you get that favor. Now, we know he said dog because where were they at? They were in Egypt. The Father was getting ready to put a difference between his people and the Egyptians. We're going to read where the same thing was said in New Covenant, but they're not going to link it up for you, but you got to have the spiritual understanding of what was going on. This is the time of Egypt in Exodus 11. And the Father says, after he said he was going to slay the firstborn male of the Egyptian people and the first of the beasts, he said the firstborn of the Egyptians and the firstborn of the beasts. Now he says in verse 7, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast." What are they going to be showing favor with? Look, he letting the people go, the animals. And when they get this favor done to them, not one dog better move his tongue, say anything in contempt against what he's doing. Okay, and this was all so that Yahuwah, we would understand that Yahuwah doth put a difference between his people, Israel, and the Egyptians. So when we look at that word dog, we come up with the word content. Okay, you can look it up yourself for this particular verse of Exodus 11:7, the word dog. They tell you content, but there's more to that. There's more to that. And I want to show you what I'm talking about. They're not going to tell you this, but family, you just got to have understanding. Now, this was out of Exodus 11. You can go to Exodus 22, verse 31. It'll tell you the same thing. "And ye shall be set apart," they use holy, "and ye shall be set apart," they use the word men, but it's talking about the people, "and ye shall be set apart to me, neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs." Okay? Now, if you understand, what does the dogs represent? Well, it represents a a defiled person, somebody who's impure. That's what that word dog represents. When we go to Matthew 15:26, it says, answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Who was he talking to? He was talking to a woman of another nation. Okay, this is Yahushua. He called her a dog. Well, it meant that she was just a, you know, she was an impure person. Okay, she really wasn't worthy of receiving what the Father had for the children. But we can go a little further. And I don't think I have it here, but you know that she says, aren't dogs, you know, aren't they worthy to eat the crumbs from the master's plate? You know, she says something like that, and he went ahead and healed the woman's daughter because she made that statement. It's just like when King Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged who the true creator was. You know, he gave him a little time span to stay where he was, in position he was. It's not that the Father's doing anything for these people, but they better acknowledge, they better know the truth. They can lie to themselves, lie to you, but when time comes, they better acknowledge the truth. The truth is, he is the one creator. There is no other. So we can go to Mark 7:27. It says the same thing. But Yahushua said unto her, let the children first be filled. Children's bread or Israel's bread, and cast it unto the dogs, unto the impure, unto the nations, to the serpent seed too. So I just wanted to clear that for some people need to hear that. So yes, the Most High does put a difference between his people and the Egyptians. But we know all Israel's not of Israel, and we're going to get to that. We ain't done with that yet. But we're just going to, you know, make a little hedgeway so that you guys should start to understand when the Father is speaking something, you got to rightly divide this word. Rightly divide it, which means they're not going to do it for you. But if you're operating out the Spirit, what are they talking about? What's the topic being talking of? Where are they located when they're talking this? What was happening? You see? Let's go to verse 8. It tells us, after the Father has just said that he was going to, you know, kill the firstborn in Egypt and of the beast, and then he wants to make sure that he will put a difference between the Egyptians and his people. Verse 8 says, and all these thy servants, the servants means it's Hebrews 56:50, which means slaves or subjects, and that's what the Egyptians were. You can't bring them in right now and say that they God's people, because they're not. I'm going to give you more understanding for that, because some people don't get it when it talks about the bondmen and bondwomen and all that. So they don't get what's going on. We're going to go through it. So in verse 8, he says, speaking of the Egyptians, and all these, speaking to Moses, and all these thy servants, those are slaves or subjects, shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. So you see, it said thy servants, but we know that we're sometimes known as the servants for the Most High, but these servants were the bond servant. You got to go look the word up. It's Hebrews 56:50. When you go look up the word thy servants, it'll tell you slaves, subjects. And that's what all the other nations are to Israel when we're put back in our proper estate. Right now, we're under servitude still. We're still in the land of our enemy. We have not gotten back in our proper position. That will not happen until after Yahushua returns, okay? But you got to know, who is this servant that they're speaking of? Is it like a servant like we are to the Father? No. This was one that was under Moses, okay? This was considered a slave or a subject under Moses. It said, and all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And Yahuwah said to Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Now, you know, family, I shouldn't have to say it, but I will. you got to understand that the Father tells you, I believe it's in Romans 9, he hardens hearts and softens hearts. And when we go back to the understanding what happened in Egypt, we know that it was the Father's doing. Because the Father, like he told you, want to make sure that you understood you are a set-apart people to him. He will give you favor if you are obeying, you know, if you're keeping to his word. But we are set-apart people to him. There is no other people but us. There has been no change of roles between us and the heathens. There's a distinction made. You can't bring them in when the Father didn't want them to come in. He wanted you to know there was a division. So, a little further. Okay, so just remember, it's Yahuwah that hardens the heart or softens it for favor to his people and to show his might. We got to remember that, right? Got to remember that. I'm going to take you to some places where you're going to get a little bit of understanding. This will give you the understanding of Yahuwah's plan with his people and the other nations. This is the best way I can show it to you. If you go over to Romans 9, Paul said it perfectly. And really, once you read Paul in Romans 9, there's no confusion about the hardening of a heart, softening of a heart, and the Father and his people. The old covenant, the new covenant, it's all the same. Same people. When you go to Romans 9, it reads, Paul says, I say the truth in Yahushua, I lie not. Now, he had to say that because many of our people still believe lies, too. They were learning lies. So what he's getting ready to tell them, which he was an appointed apostle, the last of them, by Yahushua, he had to go to our people and say, look, I'm lying. I'm not lying to you. Okay? He said, I say the truth in Yahushua. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the set-apart spirit that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Yahushua, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of our father Yahuwah and the promises. And we know that this was only given to Israel from the old covenant. The promises were made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Israel. So he says, whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Yahushua came, who is over all, Yahuwah blessed forever. Hallelujah. Huah. Verse 6, we're still reading about this favor and Yahuwah's plan and what's going on here, and how the Father will harden his heart and soften the heart of the other nations to show his might and to show favor to his people. So we read in verse 5, who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Yahushua came, who is over all, Yahuwah blessed forever. Hallelujah. So we know that it says that Paul, which would be part of the assembly, Paul says, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Yahushua came, over all. This is your three powers of authority. Okay? This is your three powers of authority. The Father, then Yahushua, then his people. Remember, there's only one mediator between the people and the Father, and that's that man Yahushua. So we keep hearing the same thing. Some people don't want to believe this, but it's right there in the Word. Verse 6, not as though the Word of Yahuwah, our Father, hath taken not effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children? They could have come from Abraham's lineage too. We're talking about the serpent seed here now. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. People have to go back and get the clear understanding of while the parable of the wheat and tare. That's talking about how the devil came in and planted a seed right there with the Hebrew, looking just like them, but not them. They were not sent from above. Their father was the devil. So when we go back and we read, he's talking about Abraham's children. He said, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not children of the Most High, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children be not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, so it wasn't anything that these kids did. But you better understand pre-election or election and predestination sent from above. You better understand it if you're going to get this. So it says, for the children being not yet born, talking about Esau and Jacob. These were Rebekah and Isaac's children. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of Yahuwah, according to election, those that were predestined, the saints, might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. Who's doing the calling? Our Father. It says, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with our Father? You will forbid. You see, when I tell you that this person of another nation, if they do something good for you, it's not that there's good in them. It's that the Father has either hardened that heart of that nation of Gentiles that are non-Hebrews, or he's softened the heart to show you favor. And so that you will know, you're supposed to know where you got that favor from. It's from our Father. We're going to get more understanding because y'all, some of y'all, I don't know where y'all be thinking. Come right with the word, okay? Don't get mad at me for explaining it to you because the Father told you. Let's go there again. For the children be not yet born. So it don't matter if you are from the nation of Edom to the nation of the Hamites, the nation of the Moabites. You can go to all these other nations. You're not of Israel. So it tells us, for the children not being yet born, we got people everywhere right amongst us, neither having done any good or evil. When you're a child and just coming out of the womb, you ain't did nothing that either deserves a criticism or praise. You ain't did nothing. That's what he's letting you know, that you got these kids out here, but he going to tell you some about them. He says, for the children being not yet born, he was talking about Esau and Jacob, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of our Father according to election might stand. Not of works, you can't do nothing, but of him that calleth, and that's our Father. It was said unto Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. So Esau will serve Jacob. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now people get mad because I point out that Esau is a white man. Prophecy tells us. All the prophets said it. But somebody today want to tell you, no, he not who he is. We're going to get there. Not right now. Let's keep going. Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with our Father? Uh-uh. Yahuwah forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth. You can't will nothing just because you want it, nor of him that runneth anything. I don't care if you're sitting in the highest position of government. You ain't running nothing, but of Yahuwah that showeth mercy. So we know that certain people out here, they are showing our people favor. And I let me say this. Many of our people have married into another nation, so they find this hard to take in. But you better get to the real. Better get to the real what has happened. Now, everything as far as the Hebrews, it was going to happen to you. So there's no shame in what you have done if you married into a different nation. Matter of fact, the other nation came into us when we came into slavery. But we can go way back in the book of Judges where the men were taking the women of the other nations and giving their daughters away. So this is nothing new. So there's no shame in that. But the problem is understanding what's going on in your life right now. We all have had been intermingled right now. Any Hebrew telling you I'm pure Hebrew, they're lying to you. Now, of the flesh, they're lying to you. But of the spirit, no. There's still that spiritual seed that was with our Father that came down into this vessel body that was created for that spirit that came from our Father, the ones of the saints, the ones who were predestinated. Okay, predestination for those. So don't get upset about any of that. What you should be understanding is don't let your emotions take over for the word. Don't let your feelings and what your eyes can see and what you've experienced through this realm that you can understand, take over, or supersede what the Father has said. The Father lets you know, for the children be not yet born, neither haven't done any good or evil, that the purpose of our Father according to election might stand, not of works, can't do anything, but of him that calleth. Our Father's in control. It was said unto her, the elders shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, that's our Heavenly Father, Yahuwah. If you don't like me saying that, you don't like the Father, because I'm just reading his word. He says in verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Now, Paul said it. What are we going to talk about now? Because the Father told you. Is there unrighteousness with our Father because he said this? Uh-uh, Yahuwah forbid. But many people think it's very unrighteous of me when I make those statements. All I'm doing is reading to you what's already there. That's it. Our Father's in control. There's no unrighteousness with him. He'll go on a little further. Let's go there. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of our Father Yahuwah that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up. He raised Pharaoh up for that same purpose, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he harden. Okay, so we're hearing about his mercies and him hardening hearts and so forth. Verse 19, thou wilt say then unto me, doth he yet find fault? Well, if you did this, Father, if you made a difference between the people and one people are accepted and the other people aren't, you know, he's saying in verse 19, this is what they're going to say unto me. Why doth he yet find fault? Well, what's the problem? Because you created this. Well, let's find out what he says. For who hath resisted his will? If this is the Father's will, you can't do nothing about it. This is the way it is. We are a set-apart people chosen of our Father, not all the other nations. You can't bring them in. You can't say that they're so wonderful. Our Father let you know when they do something nice, it's not because of them, but because of him showing you favor. He will harden that heart of that other nation against you or soften it for you. That's all that you're seeing. Nothing less, nothing more. Let's go a little further. I got to read 19 again. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Like I said, he's saying that the people are doing what, if he's in control, the people are doing what he made them do. Well, that's true. But if you understand that the nations were there for our chastisement, that's the purpose of them. No other purpose. Judgment is already out on the other nations. It is. You can go ahead and read all the prophets and get that. So, if the Father's in control, you can't say, you know, why has he created this one? Why is he finding fault in them? Because it's to show his power, okay, and that the whole earth will understand it and that his children will understand when he does these things. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against the Father? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? What's so special about me, basically? Have not the powder power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor. And that's what he's done. What if Yahuwah, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction? You see, his people, when we read the word, we don't get sorrowful. We joyful. That's what I get. Because I already know that destruction is upon everybody who was put over Israel. The same people he used for chastisement, you can read about them in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, all throughout the word when it talks about how the Father was bringing this nation upon his people from the north, from the south, and they were going to do this to his people because of our disobedience. But when the time of our chastisement is over, the Father putting everything back in order. Everything is the way it's supposed to be. You might not understand it because you was only, what, you're probably about 20 years old, maybe 50. But 50 years is nothing compared to the time of our Father. He'd been watching everything from the very beginning, before the foundation of the earth. So who are you if you don't like what's in the Word? Let's go there. It says, I'm going to read one more time, had not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another. What if Yahuwah, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much longsuffering the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction? He sees these people, what they're doing to us, but with longsuffering, hey, you know, he's waiting. He's having he's enduring with these people a while. But check it out, verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy, which is his people, which he had afore prepared unto glory. This is your predestination. And we're going to get into that in another lecture. Not today. It says, even us, because we're speaking about the children of Israel. Paul said that he was an Israelite according to the flesh as well. Okay? Now it says, even us, I'm at verse 24. Even us, whom he hath called, not only of the southern kingdom, they put the word Jews in there, know that word Jews is talking about the southern kingdom, because Paul was from the southern kingdom, that comprised of Judah, Benjamin, and then Levi was there. So he said, even us, whom he hath called, not only of the southern kingdom only, but also of the Gentiles. Many people take that and think, oh, that's everybody in the world. No, the Gentiles was Israel. You're going to get the understanding if you haven't gotten already. We're going to get to it today, prayerfully. If not, keep listening to the lessons. We're going to clarify that. But the Gentiles was also the lost sheep of the house of Israel that Yahushua came for, the ones that were scattered because of disobedience. Because remember, the southern kingdom, Judah, came back into Jerusalem during the time of Yahushua because they had to build the second temple. Okay, they were there. But the lost sheep of the house of Israel was still scattered out there. Okay, let's get it right if we're going to speak. 24, one more time. Even us, whom he had called, not of the southern kingdom only, but also of the northern kingdom. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living Father, Yahuwah. I'm not going to read any more than that. I just want to bring you guys there because a lot of people don't understand the word favor. They don't understand that there's a distinction all through the word made for his people and all the other nations. There's a big difference. But are you reading with understanding? You know, and if this word offends you, I can't help that because unless it's something that I've said out of my mouth to offend you, I'll apologize for that. But when I read the Father's word and you still, you know, in your own imagination want to come against me because I'm reading the word, you got problems. You need to take that with the Father. Ask him to, you know, forgive you and to continue to open your eyes and show you favor, okay? Because these other nations, they're not the Father's. You can't bring them in. You can't will nothing. You don't run nothing. The Father rules in the world of heaven and earth and the kingdom to come. So that's just the way it is. Let's go to Exodus 12. Exodus 12, and like I said, I'm only keeping this lesson to 2 hours. So if anybody wants to, you know, we got about, what, 48 minutes left, I think? Yeah, got about 48 minutes left. Let me see. Yep, that's what we got, family. So I don't want to, you know, when you come to our lessons, I don't like wasting time playing a lot of extra music or just talking about me, nonsense stuff. That, who cares? Let's get to the truth of the Father's word. You come to learn the Father's word. That's what we're going to do here. You're not going to hear me speaking like a preacher. preacher out of a church that give you one or two lines and then a whole bunch of nothing. We're going to get to the truth. Let's go to Exodus 12. We're going to get more understanding. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Every person that's Hebrew, the word every, in front of the word man or woman, is talking about the people. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the spirits. You put the word spirits in there because they sometimes use souls, but you got to understand, we are spirits sent from above. The neighbors are speaking of that is going to sojourn and eat with him. Those aren't the Egyptians. Those are the neighbors that are of your brethren. Now, as we read, you probably get this, but some people don't get this. So simple little things like this, we have to go over. So verse 4 said, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the spirits. Every person, every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, we're at Exodus 12, family. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Now, I don't think I have to tell everybody, this lamb that's going to be without blemish. And remember, they were getting ready to exit Egypt, but something was going to happen before they exited Egypt. Y'all remember what it was called? Can anyone say Passover? Let's go there. I had to take a quick sip. All right. Where we heard, the Father tells us is in Exodus 12, verse 5, the lamb, this Passover that they're getting ready to have in Egypt, in the book of Exodus, he told them, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Now, when you go to 1 Peter's first chapter, and I'm just going to read to you guys verses 1, and then I want to jump and read verses 18 to 20. Same thing, precepting, if you get the understanding. One is of the flesh, that's the old covenant, the law, the Torah of the flesh. We get the new covenant in 1 Peter's, okay? Speaking of the same thing, but it's a spiritual one now. In 1 Peter, first chapter, verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Yahushua, to the strangers, and these are our people, scattered, okay? So I don't want to read no more than that. What you got to understand is the apostles were out there, especially Peter and all them, they were out there talking to the children of the fathers. So it tells you, Peter, an apostle of Yahushua. Yahushua said, I'm sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And remember, the house of Israel was scattered. Only the house of Yehuda, or the kingdom, the southern kingdom, was in Jerusalem at that time. So he's letting you know, Peter, an apostle of Yahushua, to the strangers scattered, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, shall I say. Jump to verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, remember that was the old covenant, from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, those are the scribes and the Pharisees were still teaching the people the old ways, did not want to accept Yahushua. Those were the ones sitting in Moses' seat that were called a den of vipers. They gave our people many traditions. They were right there with Israel throughout the whole book. He says, let me read again. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Yahushua as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Family, when you go back to Exodus 12, verse 5, it says to the children of Israel, you're supposed to take you a lamb, but it says, your lamb shall be without blemish. You're going to understand the Passover better in the new covenant. But pay attention to what's going on. Take a lamb. We could read by a lot of new covenant where we know Yahushua was that one-time sacrifice for us, that lamb, that Passover lamb. He was that, okay, without blemish. So right here, when we go back to Exodus 12, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. So we go a little bit further. Verse 6, it reads, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly, every man, every woman, all Israel, right? And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. Now remember, they were still in Egypt, right? This is our Passover. Pay attention. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire, and unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. I'm going to keep pointing that word out to you because you go New Covenant, Yahushua said a little bit of leaven, leaven it the whole lump. Remember he was telling his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? Okay, I'm just giving you hints. Let's go there. Verse 8 again. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with the purtenance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn it with fire. Verse 11. I'm trying to keep track of my time here. Verse 11. And thus shall ye eat, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat in haste. It is Yahuwah's Passover. So you see, they use the word Lord, but you can go to New Covenant and find out. It'll tell you it's the Lord's Passover. We're talking about Yahushua. These are the same things. What is missing from Old Covenant, but you get it in the New Covenant when it comes to the Passover? Well, that's Yahushua. The spirit that was in the beginning, that was the word that was made manifest in a flesh body that proceeded forth out of the tribe of Judah, out the lineage of thy sons, King David's sons, from Judah, from the southern kingdom. This is the Passover lamb. This is the Passover. That's what's missing from the old covenant to the new. You wonder what that new song is. We're going to get into that. Hold on. Let's go. Okay, so he tells them, you're going to eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. You're going to herb and do this, because this is Yahuwah's Passover. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Now, they use the word man. Keep in mind, family, what man they talking about, mankind or man? Because there's a difference made. Maybe you don't pick up on it in verses here, but we're going to give it to you. You're going to figure out what's happening here. He says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yahuwah. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, the Passover. and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You need to start focalizing the end times as just what you're reading about here too. Much of what is described when we came out of Egypt is going to happen again, family, because there's nothing new underneath the sun. Now, we're going to break that down later, but just give you a little bit of understanding. Pay attention to what they be saying when we left Egypt, because it's going to happen again. We'll show you in further shows. Let's go. Let's continue. So our father says, I'm trying to get to the part. Let's see. Okay, and verse 14 is an important part. Now, we just read, and I'm going to read it again because we got time. It's 6:23 my time, so I got at least a half an hour. Okay, when we go back to Exodus 12, let's go to verse 12. It tells us, the Father says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am Yahuwah." Verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to Yahuwah throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Now check it out. "7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. 7 days shall you eat the truth of the word," according to the New Covenant. 7 days. And there's only 7 days in a week. So you are to always just eat unleavened bread, not the leavened bread of the Pharisees. You getting it? 7 days, okay, this is perfection, shall ye eat unleavened bread. "Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses." Right now, our bodies are the temples, or you could say the synagogues, or the houses, or the churches. It's our bodies being spoken of here. "But what is the leaven in you?" Well, that's the false, that's the confusion, that's the lies. We're supposed to take all the leaven out of our temple, out of our house. If you're going to give that strong concordance, overlook it, because sometimes they lead you astray. But take the proper precepts with what is being said here in Exodus 12, verse 15, and bring it current to New Covenant, speaking of the leaven that was given to our people by the scribes and Pharisees who were sitting in Moses' seat, who the Father called serpent seed. Yahushua called them a generation of vipers. So did basically Paul, and all of them called them that when you really get an understanding. The book of Jude talks about them too. We're going to go different places, but just understand what he's saying here. I'm going to read one more time. It tells us, verse 15, "7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your house. For whosoever eateth leaven bread from the first day until the seventh day," that's a whole week, "that soul shall be cut off from Israel." You'll be cut off from Israel if you don't get this leaven. That's what your two assemblies that the Father found pleasing, they taught the truth. You need to watch, because certain men crept in aware, teaching damnable doctrines, and they're known as the synagogue of Satan or the children of the devil, according to Yahushua in John 8. All right? And look, don't get mad at me because I pointed out to you, it's there. Let's go a little further. So he tells us in verse 16, "And in the first day there shall be a set apart convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a set apart convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man," which all the people, "must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth as that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land, whether he be one of the called or one of the lost sheep, stranger, sojourner, Gentile. If he does this, he will be cut off. Okay? Verse 20, ye shall eat nothing leavened. Remember the scribes and Pharisees, the leaven they were giving the people. Okay? We were warned of this. It tells us ye shall eat nothing leavened. If you're eating leaven, you're participating in the famine. The famine isn't for food or drink. It's for the truth of our Father's word. So our Father tells us, even in old covenant, ye shall eat nothing leavened. Come out of the confusion. Somebody didn't lie to somebody here and telling them that our bodies, the Father made a division between the people because one was a male, one was a female, or, you know, they're not understanding who those Gentiles are, which is still Israel. They don't make the correct distinction. I even heard somebody say after King Solomon split, well, you know, the names of the kingdoms were Judah and Jerusalem. And if you say that, what you're saying is when Paul was told to go out to the other people, because all the people were still in Jerusalem, that's Judah and Jerusalem, according to what they say, that, yes, it was the other nations the Father was bringing in. No, it clearly tells us it was Judah and Israel. Sometimes they call it Ephraim or Samaria for Israel, the northern kingdom. But you got to make a distinction that not all our people came back in to build that temple. There were our people scattered out there as well. Then when you come to find out who those strangers being brought back in, engrafted in, and so forth, and why Paul was sent to the Gentiles, you know, the Gentiles, the lost sheep of the house of Israel that were scattered, the same one he'd be praying for, talking about grace be to you. Okay, favor be to you while you're in this land among the other nations. So let's just go there. Let me just go there. When I get off on a tangent, fam, I got to find my spot. Ah, okay. Anyhow, going back, I think I left off at verse 18. I'm gonna pick up 18, 19, and 20, okay? It reads, and I'm at chapter 12 of the book of Exodus. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread. And the 21st day of the month at even, 7 days, there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul or that spirit, shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. And I think I like to leave the word soul there, because somebody does have a choice. Somebody does have a choice. Go back to Cain. He said, if you do well. Okay. Well, I don't even get into that, because some of you may not know all those scriptures. So for the ones who understand exactly where I'm going, you know what I'm talking about, the apocalypse of Abraham and so forth. You know what I'm saying? Remember, not all Israel's Israel, but let's go a little further. Verse 20, it tells us, ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Okay, so we're supposed to eat the unleavened bread. We're supposed to get the manna from the Father. We're supposed to eat the food or the leaven or the misteachings or the confusion or the leaven of the Pharisees alone. Don't bring it into our body, our temple. No confusion, right? Okay, I want to take you guys somewhere. Corinthians 5. Because we're going to make that connection very clear. I know I said it, but I want to read it, because somebody said, well, you're just saying that. No, let's read it. Some people like to say, Georgia, say. You ain't going to say I said nothing, because I can back it up with the word, baby. If the Father is with me, who can be against me? Because you know I got myself covered. You know the Father giving it to me. So let's go for it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5, because we've been talking about this 11, and you guys got to get that understanding. Old covenant, new covenant. The people ain't changed. The only difference is what was physical became spiritual through Yahushua. We won't get that understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, go to verse 1. Let's read. Paul says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Okay? Now, remember, he's out there talking to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's talking about fornication, though, but he's not talking about the nasty, filthy fornication of the, you know, he's talking about that the fornication is we were idol worshiping. That's what he's talking about for our people. He says, and such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles. Okay, the Gentiles, they serve their gods. They know who their gods are, and they serve them quite well. They might have given you a Christianity twist to it, but they're still serving their gods. So Paul says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. There's idol worshiping among the Father's people, the lost sheep. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the heathen, the Gentiles, the Goyim, the other nations, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that ye that have done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body but present in spirit, remember he's writing letters, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our brethren Yahushua, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of Yahushua, to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Yahushua's return. We're talking about the second coming, family. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? That's why he said if you commit one sin, you broke every commandment. One is like breaking them all. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That should concern you. That should concern you, especially if you don't know what these words mean. Or you got some lying, scribing Pharisees telling you, making you more children of hell than themselves. This should concern you. Paul says in verse 6, your glorying is not good. What you're doing is not good. He's writing letters. Remember this. He said, but I'm with you in spirit. Just like I tell everybody, I don't have to be with you because I am with you in spirit. You ain't seeing my physical flesh, but with spirit, we're all one. And the Father's dwelling right in the midst of us. So Paul says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Take off the old man. Put on the new man. Right? He says, purge out therefore the old leaven. Whatever you've been taught, purge it out. Get rid of it. That ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Yahushua, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So what does this tell you? Yahushua being our Passover, but it was a spiritual understanding. But for us, if we're in new covenant, Paul said, I'm an Israelite. So he's still talking about the Israelites. They put the word Jew and Gentile, but you got to remember what happened under King Solomon. The nation got split. You had Yehuda, Judah, they call them Jews in the new covenant, and then you had, they call them Gentiles, Greeks or whatever, but that was the lost sheep of the house of Israel that was still scattered. Kingdom while they were in Babylon, they came back to rebuild the temple. Remember? Okay, know what's going on here. So he says to purge out that old leaven. Get rid of the confusion, the nonsense. Get rid of it all. A little leaven, leaven the whole lump. He says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, or new man, or new spirit, a renewal of the mind, body, and spirit, as ye are unleavened. For even Yahushua, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not of the old covenant, not the way we were doing it before, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We're talking spiritual family. It says, therefore, let us keep the feast, but not with old leaven. Remember, they told you in the beginning that it was the fathers who gave them that leaven. Yahushua said, they're sitting in Moses' seat. They will push the law on you. They're omitting Yahushua, whereby omitting our father. Yahushua said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You getting it? I pray you are. So Paul says, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle or a letter, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with this covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any person, if any man that is called a brethren, is called a Hebrew, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, and with such as one know not eat. Let's see. With such as one know not to eat. You're not supposed to keep company with them. And it's still talking about the people of Israel, believe it or not. All Israel is not of Israel. For what have I to do? Wait a minute. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? And them that are without, Yahuwah judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So we're talking about a person who's bringing that leaven. Because Yahushua said, as well as Paul stated in verse 6, know ye not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? That's all Yahushua was talking about when he was trying to give his disciples warning. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And talking about the leaven, they thought we ain't got enough food. They thought he was talking about food. He was talking about the lies, the wickedness of these men who are sitting in Moses' seat. Okay, let's go back. I was reading give me a second. Exodus 12. Okay, I got a little bit more time. So when you go to Exodus 12, we're going to pick back up at verse 21. Let's go there. This kind of gets a little good here. Because you're going to hear, what you will not hear, let me put it that way, you will not hear about any division. You're not going to hear about the Father making a division between his people. Although in New Covenant, everybody seems to think there's a division between the men and the women. The only division in the Scriptures, which is really not a division totally because they will get regathered, is the splitting up of the nation of Israel into two kingdoms, not the division between the man and the woman. So when we go over to verse 21, it reads, this is in Exodus 12, then Moses called for all the elders. You go look the word elders up. Some people need to do this. It's Hebrews 22:05. It means those having authority. That's all it means. You can go many places in the Scripture to understand the word elders. Sometimes they were called judges. We know Deborah was one, and she was a woman. So we're not really speaking of just this man when we say the word elders. But it says, then Moses called for all the elders, those with authority of Israel, and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. Verse 22, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is on the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For Yahuwah passed through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahuwah pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in to your houses, come in unto your houses to smite you. Now, family, remember, we're talking about Passover. Who was the sacrificial lamb? That was Yahushua. And we're going to take it modern in New Covenant and bring it towards us now. So if you have Yahushua, when destruction or tribulation get ready to come upon this earth, you got protection. The Passover, the one and only Passover necessary that we needed. Before they were doing some of the physical, in New Covenant, it says to believe upon him. But who? Well, his people. To accept him. And the truth in him, not a lie. Okay? Not of the scribes and Pharisees, not of the flesh, but the truth of Yahushua. You will be passed over. I want to make that point because that goes into end times. If you really understand it, there's nothing new underneath the sun. You can't say, see, this is new. Even when you get to what's happening in Revelations, that's nothing new there. You better know, you better go look back to the prophets. It's all about Israel, family. Okay, let's go. Verse 24, it says, and ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Now, the word thy sons, many people might not know this, but I'm going to go there. The word thy sons, family, go look it up. It's Hebrews 11:21. The word ben. That word means many things. Now, the unrighteous will tell you, oh, it's just talking about a male, a boy. It's got to be a boy. When you go look up that word, it has many meanings. Now, keep in mind, the word was translated into English. The ones who didn't want you to wake up out your stupor were against the Father. We could read about all the other nations as well as the serpent seed doing this. Do you think they honestly would tell you the truth of what that word means when Yahushua says a house divided can't stand? Because the division is going there. The house can't stand for them. But the Father will tell you exactly what that word means. When you go look up the word thy sons, he says that ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Not just talking to the men. The word thy sons, go look it up, Hebrews 11:21. The word means child, member of a group, children, male and female, plural, a nation, people of a nation. You see? It don't mean just, like when King David said, the prophecy was that the Redeemer would come through the loins of King David and his father, you know, through the loins of David and the son of Jesse, you know how it goes. Well, that's talking about through his children. It says thy sons. Both Mary and Joseph were the sons, the children, through the lineage of King David. Both of them were. So right here it says, and ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye shall come to the land which Yahuwah will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children, that's thy sons, family, shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? What are you to tell them? Go to verse 27. That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yahuwah's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. So you see that the sons, thy sons, means the children of Israel. Okay, it's not talking about just one little man. Look, it's not putting a division in his people. He loved all his people. He loved the northern as well as the southern kingdom. He loved the sons and the daughters. Family, we got to get out of the leaven that we have been taught, out of the confusion, and come into the truth. Let's go on. And the people bowed their head in worship. I'm at verse 28, family. And the children of Israel went away and did as Yahuwah had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass, let me get my scroll up. It came to pass that at midnight, Yahuwah smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people. This is Pharaoh talking about his people. Get your people from my people, both ye and the children of Israel. Okay? He's talking to Moses and Aaron, both ye, and take them children of Israel out of here. That's who left was the children of Israel. And the Pharaoh knew it, and the people knew it back then. Today, you may not know it because they call them strangers, mixed multitudes, and so forth and so on. But we're going to get to the truth. So Pharaoh says, he called Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, my Egyptian people, both ye, Aaron and Moses, and the children of Israel, and go serve Yahuwah as ye have said. Verse 32, also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, upon the Hebrews, that they might send them out from the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. Because they understood who the Father's people were, and they understood that they got no will or to run something or might. They can't do a dang on thing but obey our Father. And when he shows our people favor, baby, it's favor. Let's go on. It tells us, pick up at verse 31 again. He says, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve Yahuwah as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed, right, they got favor of the Egyptians, jewels of silver and jewels of gold, and raiment. Now, we remember reading in the New Covenant where it's Yahushua now, because the gold, the raiment can't do it for us, can't redeem us, but Yahushua could. So let's go here. It tells us in verse 36, and Yahuwah gave the people favor. That's when they borrowed or spoiled the other nations, and they weren't allowed to open their mouth against Israel when the Father did this. It tells us, and Yahuwah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent, and the word lent means give, unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel sojourned from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children. So what it's letting you know is the people. That's all it's telling you, is the people. Okay? The people think it's just the men and the boy children. No, it's the people. Verse 38. Wait a minute. I want to say something about this. The word that were men. When you go look it up in the Strong Concordance, you get Hebrews 13:97, because I just read it for you in verse 37. It says, and the children of Israel, speaking about all the children, journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, and 600,000 on foot that were men. Now I'm looking at that word men. When you go look it up in the Strong Concordance, you get Hebrews 1:3-7. The word is man. It tells you that we're men. But then you go look it up, it says man. Now, what you need to know is you go look it up under different ways that that word man is used, because you got to know what's the topic being spoken of. Well, we're talking about the children of Israel leaving. We're talking about all the people, not just the men. Or in the little children, we're talking about all the people leaving. So that men means the word man. Why is it important to know who that man is? Well, that man is the same as the man that was formed from the dust of the ground. Okay, we're going to give you understanding with that in a second. But the word man, it'll tell you everyone. Okay? Everyone. Everyone. Just make sure you know these. I'm saying these words because a lot of people still get confused when they read and they'll think, oh, it's a masculine word. It's just talking to the men. It ain't talking to no just men. It's talking to the children of Israel. Okay, so when we go a little further, it's, oh, wow. I don't know if I have enough time. Let me look at my timer because I'm not going into the third hour. I will pick back up this lesson. Okay, we have about 7 minutes left. I'm going to stop right there. And I'll mark it. And next lesson we have, I'll pick back up because we're getting ready to get into a lot of things that make a distinction between the children of Israel and the other nations. You may have believed that those were all the nations coming out of Egypt with us. You may have believed a lie, but we're going to get to the Father's truth and his word on this. I'm going to open a mic, family, and I will close this show down with 2 hours or less. So, hey, Shabbat Shalom, area code 614. Did you want to add anything?
Yes, this is Sister Hadassah, and
hey,
I just wanted
sister.
To, how are you?
I thought it was so glad you called in.
I was rushing to get off work so I could get on this lesson, but I'm so glad you brought up the Passover because I was listening to a lesson in your archive, and it talked about the Passover, and I heard something in my spirit say, I'm the unleavened bread, and I said, wait a minute, where did that come from? And then you gave this lesson, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is just wonderful. I mean, I felt so overjoyed when you said that Yahushua is our unleavened bread. He walked everything out in perfection from his thoughts to his actions to the words that he spoke. He is that unleavened bread, and I was just, I'm just overjoyed by your lesson today.
Sister, I'm glad that you were able to make it. And, yes, I'm getting ready to get into is trump everything I didn't talk to you about so far because it's going to go so deep. And many will say, oh, my goodness, when they hear this because they have not heard the truth. But the Father gave me this lesson last night. I always wait on him. I'm not going to push any message anymore just because Israel's grumbling. Y'all going to have to wait on the Father like I'm waiting on him. But when I come forward, you better believe I'm coming with power and strength. I'm not coming by myself. I'm coming from the Father, okay? That's why I say, you know, whatever you learned as a child, throw that nonsense away. Let's come as children of the Most High and see what the Word is really speaking of. But this is
right,
good because,
right.
Sister, all this stuff is, like I keep telling everybody, is the children of the flesh versus the children of the spirit. Either you're going to be for the Father or you're not. But as far as the other nations, don't get upset with me because the Father ain't talking about them like you think. Revelation is
well,
definitely not pointing
on the other nations. I have a testimony on how the Father used them to show us favor. And
well,
I'll make it brief.
Too. Hey, listen, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to make it because we only got 4 minutes left, sister.
In 2010, my mother passed away. And at that time, I wasn't thinking about anything but, you know, trying to stay focused on my job and not really mourn her. And my supervisor came to me and she said, well, here's the paperwork for the 401K. Well, I tossed it aside and didn't think anything about it. And that was in January. Well, in June of 2011, our company dissolved, and I figured, oh, wow, I missed out on that because I could have had all this money put away. Fast forward to 2012, I came into the knowledge that I was a descendant of the children of the book, and I was having really hard financial problems, and I cried out to the Father. I mean, I got on my knees, on my face, and just tears poured out because I was really having a hard time. I said, Father, I just need $1,000 so I can get this thing straight. So I told my husband, I said, you know what? I have a feeling we're going to, you know, something's going to come in the mail. We got out the car and I went to the mailbox and there was a letter from Huntington Bank. I said, well, I don't have an account with Huntington Bank, so I didn't think anything of it. I opened it up. The doctor that I worked for at that time had put money into this account without me knowing it. And she was getting ready to close out her books, and she sent me the paperwork to fill it out. Don't you know it was $998.90.
Hallelujah. You know, sister, hallelujah.
I fell I fell out. I cried. I praised the Father. I said, this is nothing but his hand. I wasn't giving praise to her for doing it, although that she was used for that purpose. But I looked at it as he heard my cry even before I was going to cry.
That's true, you know, sister. That's how it works. And our people, we got to realize that it is not because that other nations care about us, but because the Father cares about you, and he's showing you favor and grace. So when you get something done nice on your behalf from the other nations, you better know where to give that praise and honor. That's what we're reading about. That's what we're reading about. And sister, we got about 2 minutes left. I'm going to quickly try to give my testimony, and I will try to make it quickly.
Okay.
But as soon as I make my testimony, we're going to close up the show. So I'm praying 5 minutes at the most. I will play a song at the ending also. I'm going to give this testimony because I meant to give it when I came back. I took a trip to Louisiana to see my daughter, and I think I took it in the worst time because we went through every horrible element out there when I was making a trip to Louisiana from Ohio. And part of the way into Alabama, I mean, they were hit just like we were hit up north. They had freezing rain. Okay, they give me 90 seconds. Anybody want to listen to this last piece of testimony, switch over to 646-595-4111. Okay, I'm going to keep talking. Okay, so we're headed out. And now, my daughter, she's just learned to drive, but I was with her to make sure. She had a little temporary plates, temporary stuff on there. So I was very nervous because she was doing the driving. I told her, pull that doggone car over. Let's get a hotel room. So we pulled the car over, and, oh, my goodness, I was so glad to get in. I was so glad, 60 seconds, I was so glad to get in that doggone bed because I was tired, my back was hurting, and frankly, I was tired of holding on to the side of the car because she was, every time I closed my eyes, she'd be going 90. So, and I mean, the weather was bad, so I thought we'd get a hotel room. We got a hotel room. The next morning, I go out there, and I tell her, get the baby ready and pack everything up. I'm going to go ahead and get the car prepped. Go outside. There's nothing but a sheet of ice all outside. All the cars in the parking lot were frozen. She had this little bitty ice cleaner that didn't do anything. And, I mean, to get in the door, I had to, like, kick at the door to make the ice break so I could open the door. It was a layer of ice everywhere. The car was stuck in a layer of ice when we were trying to move it. But the Father was with us because we did get it out. 10 seconds, mm-hmm. Family, 10 seconds. We happened to go across the street. They had a gas station there. I told her to fill the tank up because we still had to go through Alabama and some other places to get to Louisiana. We still had quite a few hours to drive, you know. So mm-hmm. When I get in there, there's truck drivers. Now, these are some Edomites, and I think there was one Hebrew there. But anyhow, we're talking, and I just asked them what was the road conditions further down the road and the direction I was going, and they were telling me the best way to get there, and I just told them thank you. So I was going down the aisle to get my grandson. He likes those beef jerky sticks, and I would give him mm-hmm. anything so he wouldn't scream behind the back of my head. You know what I'm talking about? Because it took us two days on the road to get there. It only should have took us 14 hours, but the weather was bad. So as I'm down the aisle, one of the Edomite truck drivers, which happened to be a lady, she was a real big lady, you know. You could tell she was a truck driver. Anyhow, she come running towards me. I thought she was going to ask me, can I borrow something? So when she came to me down the aisle, she said, and she had her back humbled in such a way. That's why I thought she was going to ask to borrow something. Here's what she said to me. She said, what do you have something, what are you using to clean your car? And I thought she wanted to use my ice scraper. I was going to explain to her, I'm sorry, but the one I have is worthless. She told me, she said, well, you know, I'm a truck driver, and would you mind if I clean your car? And, boy, I tell you, because my car had ice. I couldn't get the ice off. She said, can I clean the ice off your car? I said, yes, you may. So I'm standing inside paying for everything, and she went out to clean the car. Now, granted, my daughter's in there with my grandson. When I get outside, I noticed India had locked all the doors to the car. She told me later that, she said, Mom, I didn't know what to think. She said this big old white woman come pounding on the car. She didn't even tell me nothing. She was pounding on the car. I thought she was trying to break in, so India was locking the doors. When I came out, I stood in front of the cart just smiling because I knew it was the Father's favor for me. I knew that because that, not to sound like that, but that white woman cleaned the front, the back, the side, the wipers. There was not a speck of ice on my car when she finished. And she thanked me. I'm so glad I was able to help you. Thank you for letting me clean your car. I said, well, thank you. But I'm telling you, little things happen to us, family, and we think, oh, the other people are so nice. No, the Father had, because I was out there, it was still hailing. My hands turned blue, and I was out there trying to get that ice off. I couldn't, and we still had way to go. So when that woman came out there and she cleaned that car and thanked me for cleaning my car, and I, you know, thank you, Father. That's all I could say. And I told my daughter when we got in, I said, I sure hope you know that was favor given to us. Because we were in a world of hurting. Anyhow, family, I wanted to share that with everyone. I don't want to make it long, but I want you to understand, when I said favor, people think, well, no, Georgia, this person, you know, because they have the mindset of the oppressor and the lies. They have believed the lies of the other nations, and they're not following or hearkening to what Yahuwah says. So when these other nations, I don't care what nation it is, we've been reading about the Egyptians, but we can go other places in the scripture, okay? You got to understand, when you're shown favor, which is grace, that was for our people because of the other nations. We're right in the midst of them. So either the Father will harden the heart or soften the heart on your behalf, but you better know where those praises go, and you better know what's happening to you. You give praise right back to the Father. It's very clear. All right.
Exactly.
That's all I want. I wanted to share that because I don't think many people really understand. I think they think I'm prejudiced because I say certain things. I said, well, I'm going to read it for you, then I'm going to give them a little bit more understanding. But, hey, it's their family. So with that said, family, we will have another lesson. I'll probably pick this lesson off at Tuesday at 5 with Brother Jonathan. We're going to continue it because we got more. And prayfully, y'all going to start to understand revelations, new covenants, certain words that have been mistaught. You're going to throw the leaven out. You're going to come out from among her, the confusion. This is what has happened to our people. They're confused. Somebody crept in unaware. Even when we were supposed to be woke up, somebody found out, okay, I'm a Hebrew. That was good, just like those assemblies. But they don't know because they're not teaching the synagogue of Satan that's the people who crept in aware, you're supposed to watch out for, that Yahushua said, the scribes and the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're sitting in Moses' seat. Caution, caution. Generation of vipers, caution, caution. So we bring this information out on your benefit. Okay, the Father put it on me strong to give it to you. Because without the truth, and these scribes and Pharisees, they don't say it, but they do it with what they say and don't do. They leave out our Father in Yahushua. Even though they might say, I love God, I love Yahweh, I love this, I love that, Yahushua, my brother and all this, what their actions of what they're telling you to do omits the Father and the Son. So we got to go through this, and you got to get the understanding. So when you go to Revelation and try to figure out what should we be looking for, you're going to get a big understanding that's totally different from what you heard. With that said, family, and Sister Hadassah, thank you so much for calling in. Hey, we're going to leave it, and we'll join back Tuesday at 5 p.m. Okay, family? Shalom, shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Shalom.
Israel, he took me out of darkness and put me in his marvelous light.
Oh, yeah.
And if you could relate to that, this song's for you.
Every time I think about all he's done, how he changed my life and made it so much better, I'm just in awe. It's so amazing, yeah, yeah. Many times I was down on my knees crying, looking for the answer, but I couldn't find it at all, yeah. But he always came on time and made it right.
He's faithful.
Yeah.
He won't let me fall. In the last days, Israel shall rise again as a mighty nation. Gentile peoples shall serve her. Zion shall be established. Finally, they shall dwell in celestial splendor. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, How hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Those nations shall be utterly wasted. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.